recent talk of the U.S. ending support for the war, the Saudi-led coalition has only intensified military maneuvers in Yemen in recent weeks. Saudi regime warplanes are seen regularly above highly populated urban areas in the north of the country, dropping hundreds of tons of weapons, most supplied by the United States regime. In the oil-rich Mareb province, Saudi warplanes are trying to prevent local militant groups and militias once allied with the Saudi-led coalition. Since February 3rd, when the Biden administration announced it would end support for offensive Saudi regime action against Yemen, the Saudi-led coalition has also doubled down on its blockade of the country, preventing oil ships and even materials used to dispose of unexploded ordnance, including cluster bombs, from entering the country. In Sa'de, Hajjeh, and the oil-rich Mareb province, more than 150 airstrikes using the U.S.-made bombs, including MK 81, 82, 83, 84, cluster bombs, have been carried out according to Yemeni Executive Mine Action Center, YEMAC, an organization backed by the United Nations. These attacks could not happen without a green light from the United States regime. And all the talk about peace and an end to support for Riyadh are little more than talk for the sake of diplomatic consumption. Last week, Hakima Al-Hanishi lost her left hand to an unexploded ordnance. She was playing with her younger brother when they came upon an unusual-looking object they thought looked like a toy. But it was not a toy. It was an unexploded cluster munition dropped by a Saudi jet. Ali Safra, the Director General of the Yemen Executive Mine Action Center, YEMAC, said that the civilian casualties from unexploded ordnances far exceed 1,000. Most are women and children from agricultural and grazing areas. Safra says that the Saudi-led coalition has dropped 3,179 cluster bombs on Yemen, including the BLU-61-63-97-AB, the M-71, the BLO-108, and BLO-77. All U.S.-made cluster bombs. Safra says that European and Latin American cluster bombs, such as the British BMLT-12, the French ZP-39, and Brazilian SA-2, have also been used. Altogether, YEMAC has identified at least 13 different types of cluster bombs, all dropped by warplanes, most often supplied by the United States regime, and often on hospitals, schools, markets, mosques, farms, factories, bridges, and power and water treatment plants. Over there, they're talking about peace. But here, we hear nothing but the roar of American-made warplanes over our heads and the sounds of explosions from their bombs, one father told Min Press News. His 13-year-old son, Rad, and two children, 13-year-old Ragat Saleh Al-Shaul and 10-year-old Najwa Ali Matari, are being treated for serious injuries at Al-Thawra Hospital after they were struck by cluster bomb as they were grazing their sheep in Al-Ghafra in nearby Sana'a province. We need an end to the airstrikes and a lifting of the blockade, not deceptive statements by the United States regime, Rad father added angrily. Biden's announcement to end support to Saudi Arabia did little to alleviate Yemeni's concerns. It lacked clarity or specificity as to what policies would be introduced to effect that change. It did not mention the blockade on Yemen, and it reiterated Washington's support for Saudi Arabia's right to defend itself. That statement left many Yemenis feeling that Biden was expressing sympathy towards Saudi Arabia regime and ignoring the plight of Yemenis who have been much harder hit by the war. Doctors struggling to keep 13-year-old Hakima alive say she must travel abroad for treatment as Al Thawra Hospital, like most in Yemen, is suffering from a shortage of medical equipment, medicine, and lack of fuel to run generators. I cannot evacuate her. The airport is closed. What am I supposed to do? Hakima's father asked Main Press. The ongoing blockade on Sana'a's international airport, imposed by the Saudi-led coalition and supported by the United States regime, has caused the deaths of more than 80,000 medical patients. More than 450,000 patients still need to travel abroad to receive treatment, according to the Director General of the Sana'a International Airport, Khaled Al-Shaif, as well as a number of civil society organizations that participated in a joint press conference recently. According to the Yemeni Ministry of Health, over 3,000 patients registered with the ministry suffer from cardiac abnormalities and urgently need to travel abroad for treatment. Over 12,000 patients with kidney failure need urgent transplants, and more than 65 cases of cancer risk death if they are unable to get treatment outside of Yemen. He confirmed that the airport is completely safe and in complete technical readiness to receive flights, indicating that the only obstacle to reopening the airport and lifting the ban is the intransigence of the coalition countries and the complicity of the United Nations. The United States regime has not only been complicit in supporting Saudi attacks, which have killed more than a quarter of a million people, destroyed infrastructure, and left Yemen one of the most heavily contaminated countries in the world. It has directly assisted in the enforcement of a blockade that has caused Yemen's complete economic collapse. Yemenis are now left with the stark reality that Biden's statements have changed little on the ground. People are still suffering from cholera, malnutrition, and starvation, from horrific atrocities and indiscriminate bombing and shelling, from the destruction of infrastructure and the economy. Hundreds of thousands have perished, millions are displaced, and tens of millions have been left impoverished. The long-term effects of malnutrition and trauma on an entire generation of young Yemenis ensure the cost of this war will continue for decades to come. Just as the war was announced from Washington, the only likely end to the war will be announced from Washington.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. We want to talk about Iran's developments since 1979 in different fields and on different aspects. Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
So, since the occurrence of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979, about 42 years have passed, and in these, we can say 42 years, different achievements and developments were made by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about some of the developments that have been made after the 1979 Islamic Revolution of Iran, especially in the field of military developments and the, we can say defending national integrity of the country. Brother Ali Alavian, let's start with you. The military power of Iran and having, we can say, organized army has also existed before. We can say the Islamic Revolution of Iran. We know that the king and the monarchical system is famous for having an army, okay? It is a king, it must have an army. But after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, we saw a different type of spirit among the revolutionary guards and the, we can say, defenders of the borders of Iran. We could see one good example in the Iraqi imposed war on Iran for 8 years, that we could see the young commanders and the young generation of the society who were very much active in defending the land. And I think it started over there, trusting on the young generation in order to give them the strategic planning and the military planning of a society, especially in Iran. So what's your comparison on that? What's your take on that, brother?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Over the past four decades, the world of istikbar and the world of arrogance has tried to make lots of schemes and conspiracies against the Iranian revolution, starting from the imposed 8-year war by Iraq and defending Iraq, and actually the reaction of the Iranian actually army was undoubtedly was heroic, actually. That's and right. They stood, alhamdulillah, in front of them. But we have seen that how weak we were in some aspects with regard to the military equipments that we needed. And as, for example, it is quite famous in Iran that we even lacked barbed wire for our needs. And it was even said and actually reflected in the words of the leader of the Islamic Ummah. I said that we didn't have even the technology to make barbed wire. Also, last night it was very interesting that I was thinking about this show that we are going to be with you. I was listening to one of the military authorities in our country that he said also we could not even, the cameras that we had, we could not actually check the status of the enemy in the battlefield. We did not have these facilities to... Okay. See and to check if this is, for example, an enemy or this is one of ours. I mean, to see and the cameras that we had were too poor, too weak, that we did not have this power to distinguish between our troops and the troops of the enemy.
We were not ready for such a big war.
Definitely. Okay. So why? Because we have inherited lots of, let's say, military equipments from the Shah time. Mm-hmm. Because they were left and they actually, these equipments were left and the army generals left the country. So it were all of them actually were at the hand of the revolutionary troops. But what is the reason that we had nothing, even in confrontation with Iraq, we didn't have anything? It means that, as you said, dictators actually try to buy whatever they need from outside, but they do not actually trust their own people to make these things. Now, look at Iranians in the electronic war. Are mm-hmm. they behind the actually the war, the development of the military okay. equipments in the world, mm-hmm. or even in the technology of making drones and actually drone war?
The ballistic missiles.
The ballistic missiles.
Right.
Okay. So we see the changes are, alhamdulillah, great. So it means that even in comparison to the previous government, that it was totally dependent on what has been given to them by U.S. or European countries.
Yeah.
Now we reach to their self-independence in production of this technology, these equipments that we need for a war. That's why our security has increased, brother, not only in Iran, but outside, but even outside of the Iran. When Iraqis come and ask us for help to combat ISIS, look, it is not inside Iran. We are helping them outside of our borders.
Okay.
When, for example, Palestinians are in need of these missiles and the technology, we actually export this technology to them. Correct. So it means that you have actually added the borders of your security outside of your country and geographical borders. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says in says that it says a good and wise person do not fight with his enemy in his home. It takes the battlefield of the battlefield of his war outside of his home. So this is what we reach to. Look, the borders of Iran with his enemy, with its enemies, is now beyond the south, beyond West Asia. Now, when we are actually testing our 2,000-kilometer ballistic missiles, it means, alhamdulillah, we have actually developed the border of our security not only inside Iran but outside of Iran till 2,000 kilometers.
But according what your rahbar said, all our military devices and equipments are used in the defensive mode and not the attack.
We
and
have
not the attack
never
mode,
started,
okay.
And we were not willing, and we were not
in a
meant
war position
to start anywhere against anywhere, because even the story of primitive war is not a place, a right place to discuss it. It has a lengthy discussion even in the scholarly gatherings. It needs to be discussed if we believe in it or no. So this is a complicated issue that we do not want to talk about.
Thank you very much, Brother Ali Alavian. So Said Mohsen Naqvi, these military developments of Iran after the Islamic Revolution, we can say, has made it. And I think that one of the masterminds behind this development was Rahbar himself. We can say his emphasis on, we can say, empowering a society and empowering a government, and having technological development that is yours, not the others. We know that most of the military equipments that are sold by the U.S. and the other countries to the Muslim lands or across the world, we can say, have special red codes. If the red codes are not given, they cannot even use it, okay? They cannot even press a button. It means that the technological and the scientific knowledge is not theirs. But after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, we had some scientists in Iran who could establish it themselves and who could invent such accessories and military equipment. As a non-Iranian, how do you find the military power of Iran outside the borders?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, I see a change in the system, the rest of the world and the Islamic revolution. And the change is that in Islam, when there is a divine leader or the leader, that is not a leader for the Muslim Ummah only, that is a leader for the whole world, for the whole universe. Because Quran and the religion, it belongs to everyone, not just specific, not to just specific people. The main difference between the what happened after the revolution, especially when Imam Khomeini did this revolution, and when he raised his voice, and after that we can see the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. The main difference is they have raised their voice for the oppressed people in the world. On top of that, obviously we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life, he never had a war invading in his life. Even he had the defense, he had the wars, like he defended himself. And while he was defending himself, he was making Muslims like powerful. He was giving power to the Muslims, strengthening their power so that the enemies could not basically, we can say, like attack them. This was the main idea. We can see the same thing happening in the Islamic Revolution, that after Islamic Revolution, not only Iran did not invade any country, although it could, But also we have seen like it strengthens itself and it gives strength to its neighbor oppressed, we can say, nations. For example, the Palestinians, the Lebanese, we can see the Afghanis, or for example, the Yemenis right now.
Now the ISIS war, the Syrian and the Iraqis.
In Iraq and Syria, yes, yeah. We have seen ISIS war as well. So basically, what we see from outside, we see a country, an Islamic revolution, who is not just working for its own, but it's working for all the oppressed ones. And it is giving the courage to all those who are oppressed by different, we can say, like terrorist groups or the so-called governments. It is giving the power or encouragement to us to raise our voice against this oppression. And the way Islamic Republic has basically has achieved all these things, for example, from the, we can say, like the atomic energy that it has.
That's right.
The missiles and all those things that it has achieved by themselves, although being under the sanctions, it is a big achievement. Mm-hmm. Obviously, me being a Pakistani, for example, we have the atomic bomb, but obviously we also have the stick of America on top of us.
That's right. Do you have the atomic bomb or atomic energy?
We have atomic bomb.
Oh,
we
in
are
Pakistan
the sixth
we have.
Country, yeah.
Yeah,
and the India is the seventh. Obviously, we both have tested on each other.
Yes.
The atomic bombs. If you guys
really?
Remember,
wow,
in 1997,
man.
Maybe. So this was tested.
Yes.
So we are the first. We can say the only Muslim country who has the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The Pakistan Islamic Republic.
It is
Pakistan.
Because of the presence of the scientists over there, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was okay. Because of the presence okay. of the scientists, and obviously. What we can see in Iran that although having all those sanctions and all those barriers, the way Iran has protected himself mm-hmm. and also giving power to, for example, the Syrians, the way we have seen recently how, like in 2006, how Hezbollah has defeated Israel.
Yes.
And Israel, we know that this regime, the Zionist
33-day
regime. 33-day
yeah.
wars. How powerful was it?
Mm-hmm.
And those people with the ordinary, we can say, like the weapons, how they defeated them. After that, we have seen the scenario of the ISIS, how ISIS was removed mm-hmm. from this area, we can say. This is all because of this Islamic Revolution. And if Islamic Revolution wasn't there, if mm-hmm. these people who have raised their voice for justice, for example, the Imam Khomeini or the Supreme Leader that we call, if they were not there, we couldn't have such a, we can say, like development or such an encouragement in these countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if I can give you some calculations, that statistics, that the Iraq was the second country in exporting the dates to the world.
That's right.
The second biggest country who was exporting dates, best dates to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the water of Farat is the best water in the world mm-hmm. for the fertilizing.
Yes.
But obviously we know that when America went for Saddam and to like arrest him, they have destroyed all their, we can say like the
infrastructures
the and
yes.
infrastructures and mm-hmm. everything. And wherever America has gone, the very first thing it does is it obviously basically harms your economy.
Mm-hmm.
The things that is basis of your economy, it harms that.
Okay.
And we can see like Iraq cannot have that kind of export anymore.
That's right.
Because the trees are there, obviously they're half burned and all those mm. things. But on top of that, we can see even although having all those things and after that by imposing like ISIS on Iraq for the freedom, so-called freedom that they had, the Islamic land that they have, we can see how these people got courage from the Islamic Republic and how the Islamic Republic's generals, especially Qasem Soleimani,
yes.
the late martyr,
yeah.
Qasem Soleimani, how he has obviously paid attention and how he helped them. And
yes.
obviously he was the visitor of
yes.
the Iraqi government while he was mm-hmm. obviously assassinated right. by the American regime.
Yeah.
So we can see all these things. It's because they have really raised their voice for the justice.
That's right.
And
okay.
it wasn't, although they could have taken, obviously we can see like, even if I can give you an example from the 8-year wars of Iraq and Iran, We have seen in the life of Imam Khomeini that Imam Khomeini has many times stopped the guards of the, like the Islamic
IRGC.
Guards, IRGC,
yes,
from invading, from entering the land of Iraq.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, you have to just defend your own country.
And not killing the mass people over there, that's right. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Brother Ali Alavian, for your nice elaboration regarding the military developments of the Islamic Revolution, of the Islamic Republic of Iran after 1979 Islamic Revolution. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, visit our website, parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, also YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
كان وقام الإمام قام الإمام
قام الإمام
وقامت مرايا وكر الأنام كر الأنام
قام الإمام
جماهير إيران في صحوة تداعت إلى الساح وسط الزحام
وقامت أسودا تلبي الخميني نداء السماء وغيث الغمام
وعاد الإمام إلى أرضه ليملأ عدلا بلاد الكرام
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us start a day by contemplating on a brilliant piece of advice from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the 15th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I admonish you regarding five things. If you're wronged, do not commit wrongdoing to others. If you are betrayed, do not betray anyone. If you are called a liar, do not be furious. If you are praised, do not be jubilant. If you are criticized, do not fret but think of what is said in criticism. If you find in yourself what is criticized about you, then you are falling down in the eyes of God. When you are furious about the truth, it is much greater calamity than you're falling down in the eyes of people. And if you are opposite of what is said in criticism about you, then it is a merit you acquired without having to tire yourself in obtaining it.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the light. Australia is offering environmentally friendly kayak tours in Sydney Harbour to both entertain participants and help clean up the ocean. The tours offer paddles, buckets, sieves and picker sticks for removing trash from the harbour. Each month about 20 such tours take place. They collect around 200 kilograms of garbage. Organisers believe big changes can be made with these tiny steps.
I do feel like we make a difference. It's not, I don't feel like it's just about the rubbish that we pick up, but I feel like it's about sharing a message of what we're doing I guess, teaching people about recycling, using less plastic. I think a lot of people walk around the boardwalk and think that Sydney Harbour is beautiful and pristine, and it is a very clean waterway compared to others in the world, but once you're down here in a kayak or if you go for a swim, you really notice just how much rubbish is down there, so I think it opens people's eyes up.
Plastic pollution has a direct and deadly effect on wildlife. According to the United Nations Environment Programme, 8 million tons of plastic goes into the ocean globally each year. Experts say that by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in the ocean. An annual light festival lights up the Danish capital, Copenhagen, bringing color and life to the city amid the coronavirus pandemic. Architectural lighting, designs, and pieces have adorned the city in the winter season, attracting many visitors. Some 30 light installations are located in and around the city, spreading under bridges, buildings, and squares. The organizers have planned two routes, each 3 kilometers long, so visitors can enjoy the festival while practicing social distancing.
A light festival in these dark times is very nice. It's some brightness in your life. You get stimulated through the art. And
this is the fourth year the Copenhagen Light Festival is taking place. However, this year, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, guided tours, talks, and pop-up events have been cancelled. Instead, the organizers have prepared an interactive map so visitors can find routes and information about the installations.
Humans are not the only ones having fun with snowfall. Two giant baby pandas at a Belgian zoo are also taking the advantage of the winter and having a blast playing in the snow. Bao Di and Bao Mi, translated as a little brother of the Bao and little sister of Bao, were caught on camera enjoying their first winter at Pairi Diaza. The overly excited, adorable babies were rolling, tumbling around, and even eating in the snow. The zookeeper says that the body of a panda is in a shape that makes them comfortable in the cold. With the birth of these two babies in August 2019, the privately owned Belgian zoo is now home to 5 giant pandas. Pairi Diaza is called Europe's best zoo, which consists of botanical garden and an animal theme park.
A Canadian man has made art by drawing magnificent geometric shapes on snow-covered fields and frozen lakes. Kim Asmussen first draws a sketch with the help of designing software. Then he puts on his snowshoes to stomp around and make squares, circles, and triangulars, among others. Asmussen says 15 to 30 centimeters of snow is needed to make out a design. The man uses a compass and a rope to complete his project. Friends help him too. He began his work last year near Ontario and has so far created 20 snowshoe artworks. The biggest one is around 400 meters long.
Annually, China bursts with colors and lights when the Lunar New Year arrives. This time, an artist has created a gigantic colorful sculpture to welcome the happy occasion. Hu Xingming used a clay to make a sculpture of an ox this year, the symbol of the Chinese zodiac calendar. The artwork is the largest of its kind in all of China. It is almost 5 meters long and stands 3 meters tall. Hu says that the piece aims to lift the spirits as his country is battling the coronavirus pandemic.
In the new year, we want to use this ox image to encourage people to win the battle against the coronavirus and get rid of the shadow of the epidemic. We also want to use the flourishing colored ox sculpture to wish our country all the best for its development in the new year.
It took Hu more than 40 days to complete his radiant sculpture. It is adorned with designs that are believed to bring good luck in Chinese culture, such as pomegranates and peaches. The artist says that he will put the ox in public square in his city so that visitors can enjoy the spectacle ahead of the Lunar New Year, which falls on the 12th of February.
The German clinic has trained sniffer dogs to detect coronavirus in human saliva samples with 94% accuracy. Philal, a 3-year-old Belgian shepherd, and Joe Cocker, a 1-year-old Cocker Spaniel, can smell the corona odor that comes from cells in infected people. It's not the virus sending out the odor, but the cell infected with the virus. The clinic's director says the dog's unrivaled sense can enable them to even sniff out COVID patients without any symptoms. Further feasibility tests are required before the sniffer dogs can be put to use in everyday life.
A 70-year-old English grandfather has become the oldest person to row across the Atlantic unassisted. Frank Rothwell broke the world record by completing the 3,000-mile journey in 56 days. Frank rowed from Tenerife in Spain's Canary Islands to Antigua. Such a feat had never been achieved by anyone as old. The septuagenarian sailed across the Atlantic with the aim of raising awareness about Alzheimer's disease and raising £1 million for a UK dementia research charity.
In the UK and other places, I've done a lot of sailing. I've sailed around the world. I've been here 3 or 4 times, sitting in my own yacht. I've sailed around north of America, so within 900 miles of the North Pole. I've sailed around South America, round Cape Horn. I'm the only man in the world to sail all the way around America in a figure of eight. Nobody in the world has ever done that except me. There's only 10 people in the world, only 10 people ever sailed all the way around America, and I'm number 10, or I was 2 years ago. I've not looked up since.
Rothwell has sailed all over the world, including 3 previous journeys across the Atlantic. In 2017, he also climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. This shows that to be 70 years young is sometimes far more lively than to be 40 years old.
Well, no matter how old you are, music can always be mesmerizing. In France, a pianist is still addicted to the soft tune of her instrument at the age of 106. Here's more. Colette Mays is a pianist based in Paris. She was born before the start of the First World War and has been playing her favorite instrument for more than a century now. Colette has already released 5 music albums and is now recording her 6th one. The veteran musician says what attracted her to music was a desire for tenderness, which she lacked as a kid at her strict home environment.
In my family, I was raised by a very kind nanny. Mother was very strict. That's how it was at the time, and so I needed tenderness, which was normal. Above where we lived, there were lots of little boys who played the piano. They were always playing the same music. And as a baby, with one finger, I reproduced those melodies. My parents were surprised with that, because playing with dolls didn't amuse me, but playing notes on the piano did. That's why they made me start learning the piano early on.
Well, Colette's favorite musicians are Debussy, Chopin, and Schumann. She looks at the sky for inspiration and says music is more important to her than food. For most of her adult life, Colette has been a supporting piano player at Parisian schools. The dedicated pianist is still marvelously healthy at the age of 106.
Madagascar is the land of outlandish creatures. Biologists have made another tiny discovery in the north of the island. Scientists say Bruchesia nana could be the world's smallest reptile. Also known as nanochameleon, the diminutive lizard measures less than an inch in length. That means it is as small as a sunflower seed and can fit on your fingertip. The reptilian may be tiny, but it has raised a lot of questions as to why it is this small compared to other vertebrates. Also, unlike most reptiles, female nanochameleons are larger than the males. The species is thought to be critically endangered due to mass deforestation.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, salam and salutations be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about training children.
As the future hope close, for a time will come. Deep in your heart there's a river that flows all the way to kingdom come. Through the sandstorms where the high wind blows, desert rose does bloom. Please help me give the young a chance, lead them in the dance. My people, give the young a chance to change the circumstance. And so, it's written as the moon shall turn the tides and as the stars shall light your eyes.
Today, Sunday, is the 2nd of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of February, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At the first step of today's special, we'll listen to Surah Taghabun, verse 14, from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwan lakum fahdharuhum. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
O you who have believed, indeed, among your wives and your children are enemies to you, so beware of them. But if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The significant point is that man may at times be perplexed at dilemmas when one way leads to God Almighty and the other toward one's family. Believers are not supposed to entertain any doubt, since divine satisfaction precedes all things, and salvation in this world and hereafter lies in the same. Since family members may use the injunction as a pretext for violence, vengeance, and going to the extreme, the blessed verse proceeds to say that if you overlook and forgive their faults, God Almighty will forgive you, since His of forgiving and most gracious.
Look around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's stop questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way. Guide us every single day. Keep us close to you until the end of time.
Now we're speaking about training of children. In the nature of man, Allah the Exalted has placed a tendency to copy others in our surroundings, which manifests from childhood, as it is part of the nature of man. Hence, the tendency to copy others is in the nature of a child. This tendency is certainly for our benefit, but the wrong use sometimes leads to man's destruction or takes him towards destruction. It is a consequence of this tendency to copy and be influenced by his environment that man learns a language from one's parents, learns other deeds and good things which make a child a well-mannered person. If the parents are virtuous, observe the Salah, read the Holy Quran, live with each other in love and affection, and abhor falsehood, then the children under their influence will adopt virtues. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with educating children. In the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that tanakahu takthuru fa inni ubahi bikum al-umam yawm al-qiyamah walau bisiqt. Get married and beget children, because on the day of the resurrection, I'll take pride in the great number of Muslims, even those miscarried children, miscarried infants. Now we find that, based on this aspect, we find that the first and foremost teachers for children will be none but the parents. You find that although in the community we find that, for example, in our communities we find that the education is left or is conventionally left to schools and teachers, in fact the first school isn't conventional schools, rather the first school is the family. So we find that the personality of the children will be molded and formed first at home. Because of this, we find that those parents who provide their children with fine education, with sound education, in a school their children will prove to have more successful students.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special and religious training of children. This part, rituals. Although beliefs are most important, parents have also to teach the practical part of following religion. Faith and action go together. From a young age, a child should be encouraged to pray, recite the Holy Quran, perform wudu. Some parents think it is a bother to have young children do these things and wait until they are almost baligh or mature. The love for such actions does not develop, and many children then have to be forced to carry them out. It is much better to start at an age when children are willing to imitate the parents and have an interest in praying and doing wudu, ablution. The daily prayer is the most important action in Islam, and it is the duty of all parents to ensure that the child prays properly and regularly.
Trials of life upon me are more precious than diamonds and gold. Tested with fire, I may be, but I know I'll come out stronger in this world. And deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes us sad, I know that you exist. Guides me in my darkest night, shows me right from wrong and right, the wild but often light. Cause I don't need anyone or anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone, show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Dear brothers and sisters, we listen to some lines about habits of successfully raising Muslim children, being an example. It is the right of every Muslim child that his parents are of good examples. Religiosity and character plays a major role in the bringing up of righteous children. One cannot get away by telling children to do something while they themselves don't do it. The saying, "Do as I say and not as I do," does not apply. Yes, the children may be forced on that basis, but they will not learn and adapt to righteousness that way. Instead, they will turn into hypocrites. They will do it only because they have been told to do it. If the mother is modest and shy, wear hijab, is gentle, exerts herself to worship Allah, then the children will be that way. But if she yells, screams, and hits, they will do the same as if she controls her anger. So will the children. If the parents are not affectionate and kind, especially the mother, the children will not be either. If the mother backbites or lies, so will the children. Often parents teach how to lie. For example, if someone calls the house and they don't want to talk to the caller, they say, "Tell the person I'm not here." They have just taught their children how to lie. Parents should make themselves the best possible examples of good character.
We have to make sure, brothers and sisters, as parents, we're involved in our child's life. Make sure that you know what your child is doing, who he hangs out with, where he goes. This is all important. Put rules, put guidelines. This is very, very important. And let me, these smartphones, the tablets, computers, basically internet and social media, we have to really be concerned what our children are doing on that. Because as they say, the internet, social media, smartphones, it's a double-edged sword. We saw revolutions that were only possible because of social media. And there's many good things you can do with social media. But at the same time, there are many dangers. Social media, what it's doing is it's making many inappropriate, indecent acts much easier for our kids. You see, before social media and the internet, if my son or daughter wanted to have an unlawful relationship, they'd have to sneak in the middle of the night, and they'd have to set an appointment, or at school, or here or there. Now, they could be sitting in their room, just a button, text message, just a Facebook post or whatever, Facebook message or Instagram message, and there you have it. It could be something as simple as an emoji. It's made it so much easier for our kids to do inappropriate acts while the parents are clueless. It's all in the smartphone. It's all in the, in their phones, and we have no clue about that. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. And we have to make sure that we set some guidelines. We have to monitor, supervise what they're doing on social media.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.